Let me invite you tonight over to the book of Genesis, chapter 42, verse 28. Genesis, chapter 42, verse 28. Genesis 42, verse 28 says this, "And he said unto his brethren, My money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, What is this that God hath done unto us?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne, asking your blessing on your word tonight, and giving you thanks, Lord, that you're in our very midst as we're gathered together in your name. We ask for your blessing, for your guidance of the Holy Spirit, that we might hear from you and worship you in truth and spirit, and that you would be glorified. Lord, increase our faith, and Lord, help us to grow in your grace, that you might, again, Lord, be glorified, and that we might experience your grace and mercy and power in our lives. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message is that question, What is this that God hath done unto us? What is this that God hath done unto us? Now, that question might give us the wrong perspective, but here's the truth. Ready? God is always working in your life and mine for his glory and our good. And so we can ask this question, but may we ask it with the searching eye in our life, with an examining heart as to what exactly God is trying to bring to pass in our lives. And so many times in Scripture, God withholds revealing what he's doing until he brings us to the place to where we're ready to receive it. Let me say that again. Listen, many times in Scripture, God withholds revealing what he's doing until he brings us to the place where we're ready to receive it. Even the prophet Samuel, who was a godly man, was he not? Did God just tell him, okay, anoint David? Did he tell him that? No. He said, go and then I'll show you, didn't he? Go and then I'll show you. How about the two disciples on the road to Emmaus? You remember them? The Lord withheld revealing who he was. And he walks up alongside of them and he says, what is this conversation that you both are having here that you're sad? I'm looking at your countenance and it's sad. Isn't that amazing? When you think about God could have just turned their world upside down in a positive way and just said, here I am. But he didn't do that. It was revealed to them as they discoursed, and the word of God was doing the work of God as their hearts were burning. And then when he broke bread, they realized who he was. It was God's timing to reveal himself to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Is it God's time today, right now, and every day to reveal himself in your life and mine? And I believe the answer is absolutely yes, he wants to do that. The problem sometimes comes is when we misunderstand him and we say, what is this that God is doing to us? What is going on? And I want you to know, I think everybody has been in that boat. If not, I will tell you, I've been in that boat, okay? But God, listen, I want you to see, it is the mercy of God. How many of you have gone through some things and you said, I don't understand what's going on? And then maybe 5 years after that, you say, oh, I see exactly what God was doing in my life. I understand now exactly. I can see that. But do you know that the whole time you were experiencing that, you could have trusted the Lord? I'm not saying that you didn't. If you did, all good and well. I'm just telling on myself. There are some times that I was thinking, Lord, what's going on? I mean, this doesn't make sense. If I do this, this ought to be the result. Isn't that the way it works? If I do this, this ought to be the outcome. Not with God. Amen? Because God doesn't work the way we work, or God doesn't think the way that we think. And in fact, if you look at the life of the disciples, you'll see them doing that a lot. They're saying, well, the Lord obviously ought to do like this. And then, Lord, why would you ask us such a question like that? I mean, my goodness, all we have here are just a couple of fish and five loaves of bread. And the Lord showed himself strong, didn't he? And they learned something. And I'm convinced when the Lord resurrected and when they were in their earthly ministry, what I'm talking about is after the resurrection of Christ and the apostles were walking with the Lord, no doubt they looked back. I mean, if you read 1 and 2 Peter, boy, Peter learned a lot about the Lord that he didn't understand during the Lord's earthly ministry. And I think God wants to do a lot with us if we'll just understand how he works. So notice this. I want to look at a couple of things tonight. I want you to see the position of Joseph's brethren. Then we're going to look at Joseph's position. Then we're going to look at God's revelation to Joseph, and then the work of the Lord, or God's work in our lives. So let's look at the position of Joseph's brethren. I'm just going to tell on them. They were servants of self. Now, they were children of God, but they were serving themselves. Now, that could branch out into many different directions, if you will. And here's the idea. Serving self has a lot to do with being self-centered and not being God-centered. Looking at life, not intentionally doing bad things, and listen, and the mercy of God is still at work. Let's back up to verse 1, and I want you to see something here concerning the position of Joseph's brethren, and also that the mercy of God is at work in their life, even though they did not treat Joseph right. And I want you to consider the scripture tonight as not a time of vindication. This is not what this is about. This is a revelation of the mercy of God and the Spirit of Christ as well in Joseph. And we'll see that here in just a moment. So look at verse 1 with me. It says, "Now Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt. Jacob said unto his son, why do you look one upon another?" I like that comment. Why? He said, they're just kind of looking at each other like, what do we do now? What do we do now? And he says, why are you looking at each other? We need to do something. We need to do something. Now, sometimes God's in on that, right? And sometimes God isn't in on that. In this particular time, God was in on that. And in another time with Abraham and Sarah, and Sarah's looking around and saying, well, God wants us to have a child. Hey, here's Hagar. That was not the time really to do that. But God, even in spite of that, was merciful. And no matter where you are at in your life, God is not vindictive. God is merciful. Did Joseph's brothers deserve mercy? Oh, no, but neither do we. But neither do we. And yet, that is God's attribute. It's the way he is. It's who he is. He is a merciful God. And that's why he says, I'd rather mercy than sacrifice. So watch this here. So he says, why do you look upon each other? He said, behold, verse 2, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy from us from thence, that we may live and not die. So the situation was pretty serious. And they don't even realize, imagine, look at the mercy of God. God is bringing these rebels, not Jacob necessarily, bringing the brothers of Joseph into his will. You know why? Because they're children of God. Tonight, God is wanting to bring you and I into his will. And you might say, oh, but you don't know, Brother George. And I'll tell you, I don't know how faithful I've been, or I've dealt with this and I've dealt with that. Aren't you glad we're not God? Amen? Aren't you glad? God, with everything, God is yay. Everything is yes. Can I come back? Absolutely. Will you forgive me? Absolutely. Can you use me again? Absolutely. Isn't that good? So here are these rebels, really. And so here's the situation. He says, hey, let's go down to Egypt. Go ahead. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob, sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. So here's the position of Jacob's brothers. They're servants of self. This was a benefit to them. By the way, this was a necessity. And look how God is taking care of them. This was all in the province of God. Now let me ask you this question. Could God not have enabled the land of Canaan not to go through the famine and just have it go in Egypt? Absolutely. But do you see how God is in everything and in everywhere, working out his will, giving them the freedom to make these choices? And let me just tell you what the Lord is busy about, bringing you and I into right relationship with him. Even more than that, putting us in a position to receive blessings. No matter where you are right now, you are in the place to hear from the Lord and to receive a blessing from God Almighty. And he wants to bless you. He wants to meet the needs that you have in your life. Specifically speaking, right here, we're talking about a famine, but there may be other needs that you have. God wants to meet them, And God, the one who spoke us and everything into being, knows exactly what we need. There are some people that I don't understand what they're going through, but God does. There are some people that you might try to help that you don't understand what they're going through, and you almost feel like inadequate. You ever felt that? Inadequate to, what do you say? Right? But God knows exactly what everybody needs. And so here are these brothers of Joseph, and they're going down. And I want you to see Joseph's position, and that is he's a servant of God following God's direction by faith. Now, here's something that you have to know about that. If you want to be a servant of the Lord, if you're a saved child of God and want to be a servant of the Lord, let me say that again. If you're a saved child of God, because you can be a saved child of God and not be a servant of the Lord. But if you want to be a servant of the Lord, you need to understand this, and the Lord spells it out quite clearly, but you have to understand this. Faith in the Lord and following His direction will not always make sense to us. It won't. But as we put our faith, we equal that word to trust, in the Lord, He will guide us into places that we would have never dreamed possible. And this is where, listen, Joseph was a 17-year-old boy, a shepherd. Where is he now? Where is he right now in this particular place in the story? Listen, Joseph could have never planned it that way. And here he is, second to Pharaoh. So here's Joseph, verse 6. And Joseph was the governor over the land. And he it was that said to all the people of the land, and Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Now listen. Now, if Joseph was a servant of self, come on now. He would have said, well, were their faces to the earth? He could have just said, see, I told you guys. I told you guys when I was 17 years old you were going to do this. But he wasn't a servant of self, was he? He was a servant of the Lord. And he was allowing God to use him to bless the brothers that betrayed their love to him. They wanted to kill him. We got to understand that. They wanted to kill him. Listen, I knew somebody who had a brother that tried to kill him. That's what I was told. And that sibling had nothing but unkind things to say about their brother that tried to kill him. Now, from a human perspective, I can understand that. From a spiritual perspective, I will just tell you that was not being a servant of the Lord. That was being a servant of self. I mean, that's just quite honest. Isn't it quite up front? But here's the contrast now. So here they are down in the earth. Verse 7, and Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. Now listen, do you think Joseph ever forgot that promise that God made him when he was sold into slavery? No. That's what kept him going. Do you think Joseph ever forgot that while he was a slave in Potiphar's house? Or while he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife? Or while he was forgotten by the butler that set him free? That he gave the revelation of the dreams to? He said, don't forget me. Another 2 years Joseph stayed there. Never once did he complain or call out or send message to the butler to remember him. But he was patiently, trustfully waiting on the Lord. And the promise was that God was going to fulfill this. He didn't understand exactly how it was going to happen. Now, I believe God was doing some things and revealing some things to him, because here's one thing I know for sure. The natural tendency would have been for you and I to say, even in good standing, we would have never played this charade. We would have said, it's me. But see, God said, no, it's not time yet. It's not time yet. You have to wait. I'm going to do a work. You know why? Listen, because there cannot be a sincere following of God unless we, especially when there's sin involved, unless there's a real repentance of it. And God was being merciful to allow Joseph's brothers to be brought to that place of repentance. Let me move along quickly here. So Verse 9, and Joseph remembered the dreams, isn't that something? Which he dreamed of them and said to them, ye are spies to see the nakedness of the land, ye are come. So he remembered the dream. And the Lord in this dream, and I'm convinced during his time there, was telling him, this, you cannot reveal yourself to your brothers just as of yet, or he would have already done so. Either for vengeance or just for joy or whatever the case might be. But he said, it's not time yet. And so he's not playing a game with them. He's concealing himself. And notice verse 10. And they said unto him, nay, my Lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. So here he is. And by the way, look, consider this thought. Joseph was genuine when he was revealing his dreams to his father and his brothers. And he was wanting to tell them again. Because God kept giving him these dreams. And he says, listen, the Lord did this. Was he excited about doing that? Listen, I'm just giving you a message the Lord has given to me. And they didn't want to hear it because, man, it was elevating him and putting them down. And so now the shoe's on the other foot. And Joseph is saying, well, I think you're spies. No. Let me tell you the story again. We're not spies. We're true men. And yet there was something that they were harboring that needed to be brought forth because they were not true men. They lied to their father. And they showed him this coat of many colors stained with blood. Is this your son's or not? Well, they knew it was. The Bible says that Jacob mourned many days. And the brothers tried to comfort him. Well, that's a lie. Because they would have said, one of them would have said, Dad, let me tell you something. Joseph is still alive. Maybe we can go find him. Here's what we did. We're sorry. But they never did that. Not even till this point. All right. So now we see God's revelation in verse 9 to Joseph. He remembered the dreams, plural, which he dreamed. And he says, you are spies. So he's following this plan. And now look at God's work. Verse 10. And they said unto him, nay, my Lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. Verse 11, we are all one man's son. We are true men. Thy servants are no spies. And he said unto them, nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said, thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. This is the truth so far, but watch. And Joseph said unto them, that is it that I spake unto you, saying, ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved. Here comes the proving ground. This is where the rubber meets the road now. By the life of Pharaoh, ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Now, do you remember what they remember when they went back to the father to say, hey, the fellow said we can't come unless the youngest one. And Joseph said, why did you tell him you had another brother? And they said, how did we know? Because God knew exactly what was needed. And so, it says, verse 15, hereby shall ye be proved by the life of Pharaoh, ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. And he put them all together in ward 3 days. Now, listen. You don't put spies together to conspire, but you do put brothers that need to be corrected. Now, I don't think that was his wisdom. I think that was God giving him those thoughts to do that, because now there's time for a camaraderie now. Now there's time for a group session here. We're in trouble, guys. And listen, this is really beautiful concerning the mercy of God. Remember, listen, God is not trying to get the brothers. He's trying to get them to confess. And he's trying to get them to come forward in the truth. Listen, we cannot play little games with God and harbor things that God says is not right unless they come forward and we say, Lord, these things are wrong and I can't get them out of my life. I need you to do it. And Lord, here's what your word is saying must be taking place in my life. And here's the truth, Lord. They're not happening. And now I can call upon the Lord because I just gave him a wholehearted confession. God, I can't do your work, and yet you've called me to walk in your ways. I can't do that. And I'm frustrated with it, and I'm ready to let you have the wheel. Forget about Jesus as my co-pilot. He better be the pilot. You better get in the back seat, in the trunk, somewhere, and let the Lord lead, right? Because if not, it's never going to happen. And God says that this is his plan in the life of every believer. He wants them to be successful, spiritually speaking. And I'm running out of time, but we're going to try to get this in. Ready? So what's happening here? Look at verse 18. And Joseph said unto them, the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. And that word is Elohim. That is the God of Israel. That is the God of the Hebrews. And so this message, because remember, he's speaking by interpreter. You'll see that here in just a moment. And so he's communicating this and wanting them to know, don't you know that was an eye-opener? Wait a minute, he believes in Elohim? How did that make it all the way over here to Egypt? Never dawning on them that the Midianites had sold Joseph into Egypt. Verse 20, let's drop down. He says, bring your youngest brother unto me. So shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. But now watch this. And they said one to another, we are verily, that means truly, truly, guilty concerning our brother, that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us. Did you see that? And we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon. They watched him say, help me. And distress. This is not right, brothers. Help me. Cried out to them, and they turned their back. Listen, they hardened their heart. It is possible for you and I to harden our heart and to become calloused concerning things that God is crying out to you and I for. My son, give me your heart. My son, my daughter, trust me with your life. Let me guide you. Let me empower you. Let me allow you to experience the grace and mercy of God. And we can become hardened to that. And so now they're starting to wake up. Now they're sobering up here, and they're coming out of this death sleep, and they're realized that this distress has come to them for a reason. Listen, they see it coming from the Lord. Were they blaming the second to Pharaoh? No. They were saying, God is doing this to us. See, that's critical to see that the Lord is at work in our lives. Two different ways. Joseph's brothers understand now that God is in the midst working in their lives. Joseph knew it all along because he's a servant of the Lord. He's seeking God. He's wanting God to work in his life. And he's trusting. And by the way, listen, he watched it all the way. Man, I should have been done in. My brothers wanted to kill me, and God spared my life to fulfill his will. Sold me to the Midianites, and then sold me to Potiphar. And look at what God did for me. Do you not know the Lord said, or Joseph thought that the Lord did all this for him at Potiphar's house, and even spared him from sin with his wife? And even while he was in prison, did Joseph have a testimony of the grace of God? The prison keeper gave everything into his hand. And then when it came time to interpret the dreams, when he stood before Pharaoh, God will tell you. God will tell you. That's the work of God and grace in the life of the believer. So notice this. The godly conviction is there. Verse 22, and Reuben answered them, saying, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child, that's Joseph, and you would not hear? Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. Man, oh man, talk about conviction. He says, it's getting worse. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. So he's sitting there listening to the whole thing. God was giving him the inside scoop. But I want you to see the heart of Joseph. Ready? Verse 24. And he turned himself about from them. And what did he do? You see that as a spirit of vengeance or a broken heart or grace and mercy. See, this was God's will for Joseph to follow. If it was up to Joseph, I think Joseph would have a long time revealed himself. But see, there was a work that God was bringing to pass in the life of his brothers through Joseph. And he turned, verse 24, himself about from them and wept and returned to them again and communed with them and took from thence Simeon and bound him before their eyes. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks. So he's keeping Simeon, and this is not an easy thing, but now watch this. And he commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man his money into his sack and to give them provision for the way, and thus did he unto them. And they laded their asses with corn and departed thence, and as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, he espied his money, for behold, it was in his sack's mouth. And he said unto his brethren, my money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, what is this that God has done unto us? And they came. And by the way, listen, all their money was put into their sack. They got it all. And listen, it wasn't, we're going to stop right here, but they come to the place where they have to go back. And Joseph allows, or Jacob allows Benjamin to go. And then his cup was found in Benjamin. They all agreed. Look how the Lord works this all out. Remember, they're headed home. They showed Benjamin. They're headed home. And Joseph sends out his guard because his cup's missing. And they said, our cup's missing. We didn't take it, all the brothers say. And then they said, well, whosoever sack it's found in, then that's the one that we're going to take. And that's where the cup was found, wasn't it? In Benjamin's sack. And now they're all, we would say today, freaking out, right? And and back then maybe it was a conniption fit, I don't know. But anyway, they're having a hard time of it. Joseph says, hey, listen, so he's going to stay. And they said, it's going to be the death of his father. Now listen, Joseph wasn't going to do that. This was God working. And then he calls him over for dinner. Man, we're in real trouble because he invited us for dinner over to his house is what they said, over to his house. We're really in trouble now. But he had a big plate there, a big spread there. And then he couldn't take it anymore. And he breaks down crying. He said, I'm Joseph, your brother. He wasn't going to let the dad not see the son again, Benjamin, there. And he reveals to them, and they're like dumbfounded. They're not talking right now. But you know what God did? Mercy and grace is what he gave them. Mercy and grace. You know what he's going to give you and I? He already has, hasn't he? Mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. If we'll just say, oh God, that we would not be like the brothers. What is this that God has done unto us? No, Lord, you're working out all things, even though I don't understand, Lord. May you increase my faith. Wait, listen. My trust. Those are interchangeable words. In you. Help me that I might trust you, that you work out all things for my good. And Lord, I need you to bring me to that place. I can't take myself there. I'm feeble. I deal with the flesh. I need you to crucify the flesh daily. Lord, I present myself a living sacrifice that I might trust you. And that's when we begin to experience the grace of God throughout the day, that the world looks at and says, what is that? I like what I see. It's like an oasis out here in the midst of a desert world, that God wants to shine his grace in and through your life. In and through your life. That's how it works. Into your life to give you his joy in the midst of difficult situations, his peace, that the world overflows into the world, and they see that. And they see that, believe it or not, listen, that's really what the world needs to see. The love of God. Not just love. The love of God in you and I out to the world. And if Christ be lifted up in our lives, he said he'll draw them. And that's what God wants to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. We thank you so much for your word, the truths that you reveal to us. And Lord, I pray that you would embed them in our heart. And Lord, that we would experience them and that we would call out on you to fulfill them in our lives. Bless the rest of the time we have together as we break off for prayer. Lord, may you be glorified and may our lives truly experience your mercy and grace, that we might be a blessing to our family, church family, and to the world. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.